Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Shube is going to tell us what a vaccine actually means for our future, for our immediate future. Good afternoon, Professor.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, and you? It's been a momentous week, but as we said earlier, we got some really great news. Well, you're going to unpack for us how good this news is and what it means. And we got a vaccine. Well, it looks like there'll be a vaccine commercially available within months, we're hoping. What does the timeline look like? Are we going to return to life before lockdown and COVID? Is the reality more subtle and nuanced than that?
Well, it's more subtle, more nuanced, and unfortunately more sobering. Not quite as simple as all that. Unfortunately, I think there's a widespread, overly optimistic expectation of the vaccine, that the vaccine's going to straight away return us to the pre-COVID normal. Mm. Unfortunately, it's not going to be quite like that. In terms of availability, well, there probably will be some vaccine available sometime next year, 2021, probably the middle to the latter part. That's going to be enough vaccine to vaccinate the priority groups only. Mm. Now, what I mean by priority groups, there are two groups. The one are those individuals who are at risk of getting infected because they are exposed to it more than the rest of the population. So that's obviously the frontline healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, the auxiliary staff, and so on. And they'll be worried not only that they themselves get infected, but that they can pass it on. Mm. Also people working in care homes and homes for the elderly and so on. So that's the one group. The second group are the risk of people getting disease who get serious disease if they are infected, and that is the elderly, people with comorbidities and so on. So those are the priority groups who will be the first to get the vaccine, and that's really to protect priority groups. The next batch of vaccines, the more widespread vaccine, probably looking at 2022 or maybe even later, is to try and vaccinate as much of the population to try and achieve herd immunity or population immunity. And that's really what I want to speak about. You know, how would vaccines achieve herd immunity? Because I think, unfortunately, people think, well, if you immunize enough people, then you're going to get herd immunity and the epidemic will disappear. Fortunately, not quite as simple as that. You know, we're not quite sure how effective the vaccine is going to be. If we take, for example, a figure of 70%, that's quite a good optimistic figure. That's going to be 70% effective. Then we've got to put into the calculation the coverage. In other words, how many people will be in vaccinated? What's the percentage of people that will be vaccinated? You know, even with our good vaccines, our measles vaccine, we don't immunize everybody. Mm. So if we immunize, for example, 70% of the population, which is also overly optimistic, then the efficacy from the vaccine is going to be 70% of 70%, which is now 49%. And we want to try and get to 60% to achieve herd immunity. I think we mentioned on the previous program, what is the threshold, of immunity in the population to have herd immunity? And we do this by calculating from the reproductive number, right. Was the number of new infections from a source of infection. I won't go into the calculation now, but the bottom line is that, with COVID, under best circumstances, it's about 60% of the population need to be immune before the epidemic goes down. The one thing I want to do want to stress, the virus is going nowhere. The only virus that we have eradicated is smallpox. So even though the epidemic comes down, the virus is still waiting in the wings, as measles virus also does in other viruses as well. But if we get herd immunity of 60%, we really need to kind of rely on non-vaccine. The vaccine will be a very great help. It will be a very substantive contribute to community immunity. But the non-pharmaceutical interventions, in other words, the masks, the distancing, the hand sanitizing, the avoiding of social gatherings, I'm afraid that will still be there because the virus is still going to be there. And the vaccine itself can't on its own get that herd immunity threshold. We still have to do both to get that herd immunity threshold.
All right, Professor. So there you have it. We can't look for any quick fixes. We can't change our behavior and be too relaxed and go back to the pre-COVID carefree halcyon days. We still have to remain vigilant. But it seems to me to be good news, and I'm not a medical professional or an epidemiologist, but if I compare to the measles herd immunity, which I think has required a vaccination rate in the low 90s, because that's a very reproductive.
The high 90s.
That's a very reproductive virus. Yeah. But 60 does sound on the low side, even compared to some of our others, mumps and whooping cough, which are in the 70s and 80s. So that's good news that, although the virus caught us and was sneaky the first time, it's not the most dangerous one that we deal with on a regular basis.
No, I think the level of herd immunity is certainly lower than the measles is in those infections. Now, 60% is the usual kind of figure if the reproductive number is 2.5. In other words, the number of people that infected from a source of infection is 2.5. That gives a figure of 60%. So it's quite a bit lower. But on the other hand, unfortunately, the vaccine's not going to be as good as the measles. Measles vaccine is an extraordinarily effective vaccine. Very, very good. Durable infection, very solid. The only problem with measles that the mothers don't always immunize their children. You know, we have the anti-vaxxers.
Mm.
But it's a very safe, very effective vaccine. COVID vaccines, not in the same league. So we'd have to also do all these habits. We have to still keep these habits. So maybe that's not a bad thing as well, because it does prevent other infections as well.
Professor Shoup, thanks as always for joining us. It is good news, but it has to be tempered with responsible pragmatism. We've got to keep doing what we're doing, and we have to keep being responsible and thinking of the wider community, because as you said, we're still quite a few months away from getting enough vaccine doses in South Africa to contemplate herd immunity. With you again tomorrow, and thanks as always for your time and your expertise.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me. All the best.